Well, today is the first Sunday in Advent, and other than Maya's offertory, we're really not focusing on it this Sunday. We'll get an Advent focus cranked up next Sunday, I think. But I couldn't go the entire service without at least one reference for me on Christmas. And so I happened to think of a scene from a popular Christmas movie that's going to serve quite nicely as an introduction to our sermon topic this morning. Let's take a look here.
How much fun is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh? Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. How much fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh?
Dadgummit blowout!
Again.
4 minutes. Time me. What are you doing here?
Mom said that I should help.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, sit down here. Squat down. Here, I'll hold this here. No, not that way, not that way. Go on, Rat Trap. Hold it like this, eh?
How?
Oh, like this. Here, I want to put the nuts in it.
Okay.
There we are. There's four of them. And we got it! Right there. There it is. That's all I got. I get that dirty mug. Bling, bling, bang, bang. There we go.
For one brief moment, I saw all the bolts silhouetted against the lights of the traffic, and then they were gone.
Oh. Fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge. I said the word. The big one. The queen mother of dirty words. The F-dash-dash-dash word.
What did you say? That's what I thought you said. In the car. Go on.
It was all over. I was dead. What would it be? The guillotine, hanging, the chair, the rack, the Chinese water torture... Mere child's play compared to what surely awaited me.
8 minutes.
You know what your son just said?
No, what?
I'll tell you what he said. Ready?
Help me!
There you go. I love that. I love that scene. All right, so we all know that kids are not supposed to swear. Probably most parents would enact some sort of discipline for their elementary age student if they used the word that Ralphie used in that scene there. But swear words are kind of an interesting topic because some of why we are not supposed to swear simply comes down to a societal decision that those particular words are bad, right? For instance, the S word has the same definition as the word poop. If I accidentally hit my thumb with a hammer and I say, oh, poop, nobody's going to care. But if I said, oh, S-H-I-T, now I've sworn. I mean, who decided that one of those words was bad and one wasn't? I don't know. Our subject for today is swearing. And we're going to ask this question. Is swearing a big deal or is it not a big deal? Should Christians be focusing energy on not swearing? Or, you know, is it not such a big deal? Well, since I've already started us down this road of thinking about these words and their meanings and uses, we're just going to keep going. It doesn't appear that anybody knows really the exact historical origins of words like the S word or the D word, the F word. Their use can get traced back to certain dates in history, either in Latin or Germanic or Old English. But we don't know when the words were first said, and we also don't know at what point those words started being seen as profanity. For instance, we can see that in the 1700s, people thought using damn as that was considered a curse word. How that came about exactly, we don't know. So that word, the D word, is another one there that wouldn't have had to have become considered a swear word by our society. Obviously, the word refers to divine punishment. It has a legitimate use, but somewhere along the line, people began using it as an expression of negative emotion, and it was decided that that was inappropriate. Kind of interesting that some of these words are both used as an expression of intense negative emotion, but also as intense positive emotion. So, yeah, after getting hurt with the hammer or receiving some really bad news, but also after receiving really good news. Sometimes people use the same word. I don't get it. I don't understand how these things happen, how they evolve. Now, there is another use for words like the S word and the D word, other than being shouted after you hit your thumb with a hammer. Those words could be used certainly in a way to attack or demean another person. Here's a little cartoon for you by illustrator Mort Walker of a guy who's clearly swearing at somebody. He has very angry eyebrows. His fists are both in motion, indicating that he's so angry now that his body is tense and he's almost ready to attack. And then, of course, we know that he's swearing because of the cartoon word bubble above his head, which is not using any actual words, but the bubble contains symbols that include lightning, a skull, a snake, a bomb, a dagger, and it finishes with exclamation points. I mean, this guy is really unleashing venom on somebody. Given all that we've looked at here in recently in our investigation of how Christ followers are to relate to people, even to those people who attack us, let me ask you, is this man behaving in the ways we have seen the Bible telling us to behave? Does this man look like a person who is benefiting from the spiritual fruit of peace? Does he look like a true Jesus follower? Jesus taught us love and gentleness and kindness. That's not what's going on in this cartoon. So using swear words in an attacking or demeaning way is it's out of bounds for Christians. Saying that a person is a piece of poop, but substitute the S word there, okay? It's not okay. And actually, you probably you shouldn't even say that sentence with the word poop. So... Or back to the D word, you know, if I say so-and-so isn't worth a D, that's off base. Demeaning a person like this is inconsistent with biblical ethics. So we've just seen there one way in which these two words, the D word and S word for just as examples, are used by people that's clearly improper and something that Christians should see as a big deal. But we've also... mentioned another manner in which these swear words can be used, hammer on thumb, that isn't, it's a little harder to determine the seriousness of using those words in that way, since that use of those words only seems to be improper because society decided that it was improper. The F word is different, I think. I think that particular word just is inappropriate in all of its possible uses. It directs the brain to think about the sex act isolated and stripped of love and meaning and the good purposes that God created that for. And it could even suggest sexual violence. So it seems to me that the use of that word is intended by people to cause shock or discomfort. It's intended to be rude and irreverent. And when people use that word, I feel like they're communicating to the world that they just don't care about being respectful. So I would say that one in particular seems pretty clear that Christ followers, we should want to stay away from that one. Okay, so far we've just done some thinking on what these words mean and whether or not they're inappropriate. Let's dig in a little deeper now on what the Bible actually says about swearing. Ironically, when the Bible says don't swear or don't curse, it isn't talking about swearing in the way that we're talking about here today. James tells us to not swear in the 5th chapter of his book. He writes, "My brothers and sisters, do not swear." And he continues by saying, "Not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no." So do not swear by heaven or by earth. James isn't talking about curse words here. He's talking about swearing an oath. I swear by heaven that I will do such and such a thing would be an example. Something similar that we still say today is, I swear to God that what I told you is true. And James says, don't swear by God. Why are you bringing God into it? Instead, either say yes or no about whatever you're talking about and then follow through. You don't need to take an oath. And James really is just repeating there something that his older brother Jesus taught, recorded for us in Matthew 5, where Jesus said, I tell you, do not swear an oath at all. All you need to say is simply yes or no. So in the verses in our Bibles that say, don't swear, they're not actually referring to swear words. A couple chapters earlier in the book of James, we see this verse. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? So it says don't curse there, but here too, James isn't talking about swear words or curse words. He's talking about pronouncing an actual curse upon somebody. So a prayer for evil to befall someone. I suppose today's phrase of, you know, damn you, would that would come close to this idea, but it really doesn't apply very well to the other words we use as swear words. James is saying, don't pronounce curses on human beings with the same tongue that worships the Lord. That's not befitting a Christian. Yeah, so when the Bible directly talks about swearing or cursing, it's not actually referring to the use of swear words like we're thinking about them today. But does this mean that the Bible has nothing to say on the subject? No, no indeed. Take a look with me now at Colossians 3. The Apostle Paul writes there, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. The original word translated as filthy language there in our English Bibles means obscene speech. And obscene means abhorrent to morality, a crass disregard of moral principles. So the Bible does seek to regulate our speech in regards to words that would be considered against moral principles. And Paul says, you used to walk in those ways. You used to walk in those ways before you got serious about following Jesus, but now you're to rid yourself of filthy language. And then over in Ephesians 4, we see more from Paul on this. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Next slide there. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. The phrase unwholesome talk came from a word that meant overripe fruit. So rotten, stinky, corrupted fruit. The kind of talk Paul is against here is talk that is of poor quality, rotten, bad talk. In the next chapter, chapter 5, Paul says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. We already saw the English meaning of the word obscenity, but let's look now at the meaning of the Greek word that was translated obscenity in the verse we just read. The Greek word is aiskrotes, which meant indecent speech or shameful speech. And the phrase coarse joking in the verse we just read there is a correct interpretation of a Greek word that meant funny and witty, but in a low, vulgar style. And we've all run into people who do this, right? They're funny, but their material is low class, probably sexual in nature. I would guess that at least 90% of the stand-up comedians fall into this category. Okay. And these things are out of place, says Paul to the church in Ephesus. One more Bible verse for you. And here we'll go back to the Old Testament. Proverbs 8:13, where God is said to be against pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Perverse speech. And perversion means something that is turned away from what is good and correct. We're not to engage in perverse speech. So let's list out now the words that the Bible verses we've just read told us are things that we ought to stay away from. We're to stay away from filthy language, unwholesome talk, obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, and perverse speech. And then the further meaning of the original Greek terms that are used in those verses, we can add to it. So God followers should stay away from using speech that is abhorrent to morality, a crass disregard of moral principles, talk that is of poor quality, rotten, bad talk, indecent speech or shameful speech, and speech that's funny and witty, but is done in a low, vulgar style. So the Bible might not directly say don't swear, don't curse, not in the way we're talking about today, but it does have some things to say about swearing. So is it a big deal? You know, there are a couple of other words that people these days use as swear words that I haven't brought up yet, that I'm just going to go ahead and pronounce judgment upon, a couple of words that absolutely should be considered a big deal for Christians. We're going into the Advent season. The reason there is an Advent season, that there needed to be an Advent season, the arrival of Jesus Christ, is because we're a race of rebels. We thumbed our noses at the ruler and creator of the universe, and we continue to do that. In addition, we human beings are influenced by a line of supernatural rebels as well, fallen angels who do all they can to overturn the goodness of the one true God, fallen angels who would love to bring the one true God down and replace him on the throne. Well, wouldn't it be just like rebellious human beings and rebellious spiritual beings to react to God's command to rid ourselves of filthy language by saying this, in essence, to God? Oh, really, God? You want us to stop using filthy words when we get angry or when we want to lash out at someone? Well, not only are we not going to stop doing that, but now how about we start putting your name in place of those other filthy words that we like to use? Yeah, we're going to start using your name as a filthy curse word. And that's exactly what human beings in our culture have done. Our culture has taught us to swear by using the name God. Our culture has taught us to swear by using the name Jesus Christ. You guys, it's blasphemy. It's like spitting in his face. For a human being to be brought back into the healthy, rightly aligned state that we were all intended for, then we need to submit to the Lord of the universe, because he is the Lord of the universe. We need to submit to him as our ultimate father and all the authority that that implies, because he is our ultimate father. And as long as we continue to pretend otherwise and that we can be our own rulers, we'll continue to melt down into destruction and death. So when the third of God's Ten Commandments for us says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, it isn't because God needs us to recognize his authority, like he's dependent upon our praises. No, it's because we need to recognize and come under his authority for our health. The commandments are given for our health, not for God's. And part of coming under his authority means not misusing his name, but showing respect. You know, the fact that many of us probably came in here this morning thinking that, oh my God, is maybe the swear word that is the least big deal of all the swear words, I think that reflects just how twisted human thinking has become. What could be worse than using God's name as a swear word? Now, if you're a Christian and you're still saying, oh my God, I know that you don't mean it to insult God. Okay? When my junior high years, I used to say that. And it wasn't because I wanted to insult God. I was just going with the flow, right? But the reality is that using the word God as a swear word, it represents really supreme insolence and disrespect. Christ follower, using the name of the person that you have pledged to follow, Jesus Christ, the one who died for you on the cross, using his name as a curse word is hugely inappropriate. And we need to stop doing that. Using the name God as an expletive is not a small deal. It's a really big deal, and you need to bring that habit to an end. So of all the swear words we're looking at today, those two, at least one of which you might have thought was the least big deal, I think are the most important swear words not to allow to come off our tongues. Well, I got to thinking this week that a sermon on swearing maybe ought to include this question as well, whether or not it's okay for us to listen to swearing. And I'm not talking necessarily about the swearing you're going to hear around town, but maybe swearing that we subject ourselves to through media or music, whatever, TV, music, movies. Is that a big deal for us or not a big deal? Well, in my last sermon to you, we discussed battling against thinking within our own minds that's not in alignment with Jesus' teaching or his behavior. So the battle between good and evil that's out there in the world also wages in our own heads. And Dan Tuckett then last Sunday added to the suggestions I had had for you in my sermon on how to wage that battle by saying that focusing on and memorizing scripture can help tip the balances for good in the war in our heads. Well, if that's true, and I believe that it is, then what does regular exposure to swearing do to those balances in our minds, do you think? Does it do anything? I had an idea for this point in my sermon today that didn't work out. Some of our youth groupers on Wednesday nights have told us that they like listening to secular rap. Now, I don't know exactly what they're listening to. But as I prepped for this sermon, I had the thought, I decided to look up a popular rap artist and look through some of their hit songs with the purpose of finding a song and then having you guess how many swear words were in it. The artist whose music was used more than any other in 2021 for homemade TikTok videos was a woman named Megan Thee Stallion. She's won 3 Grammys, had multiple top 10 songs on the Billboard charts. She was on Time Magazine's 2020 list of the top 100 most influential people in the world. I looked up the lyrics of 3 of her top songs, including the one that was near the top of the Billboard charts for the longest. And I discovered quickly that I wasn't going to be able to do my little illustration for you. Not because there weren't swear words in the song, because there certainly were. But because the songs, especially her most popular song, was absolute pornography. I mean that as literally as a person could possibly mean it. I mean, if you took a porn video and you wrote it out in lyrical form instead of video form, this would be it. I mean, come on, I knew secular rap had terrible lyrics. I didn't think I could be surprised in this area, but I was really surprised. This is what our teenagers are listening to. And yeah, these songs, I mean, this is the normal top 100 list. This is not like the, you know, it's not the Billboard trashy list over here. This is the normal list that she has reached the top of. Unbelievable. Now, the kids are going to argue with me that they don't like these songs for the lyrics, right? They like the beat and they like the music, but oh, come on, honestly, something this extreme, how can it not have an effect on you if you're listening to that regularly? At our Pie and Praise event the other night, Niece was talking about a scientific study she had heard of that showed that when people regularly write out grateful thoughts, regularly think about things that they are grateful for, their mental health is affected positively, and not just for a short time. We were unsuccessful in finding that exact study, but we found others on the internet that say the same thing and have proven that link. So if focusing our minds on positive thoughts like gratitude can leave a lasting impact on our mental health, what does regularly listening to swearing in music or other forms of media do to us? What does absorbing all the negative and angry emotion that comes with swearing do to our mental insides? Not to mention the sexual images and values being communicated in mediums like rap. I think we can make an educated guess on what the answer to those questions is. So if we are desiring in our lives to grow in the ways that God wants us to grow, to become better Christ followers, then we need to invest energy in the battle between good and evil that's going on in our minds, and deciding that the swearing of others is no big deal for us, and that it's okay for us to regularly ingest all that negativity through listening to music or whatever other avenue. I think that's a mistake. Garbage in, garbage out, right? We need to take seriously what's going in. Well, let's start bringing all this in for a landing now. And just before hitting my conclusion, let me insert that no matter what you decide on this question of whether or not swearing is a big deal, we are called to love people who swear. So let's focus in on what our responsibilities as individuals are before Christ. And also then let's continue in love towards those who think or act differently from us. Okay, conclusion. We've said today that swearing using the name of God or Jesus Christ most definitely is a big deal. I've also strongly suggested to you that regular listening to swearing through music or other media forms is something to stay away from. I've argued that there really is no argument to make for a Christian using the F word. And we've said that if any of the swear words are used to demean or attack other people, then they're being used in a way that's out of bounds for Christians. Okay, well, what about the use of the S word or the D word, just as examples, in a way that's not directed at somebody? Is it a big deal or is it not? We haven't really answered that. And for this, I guess we just have to go back and look at what we saw the Bible saying about unwholesome talk and so forth. Let's just go through those lists of prohibited things one last time. We saw that the biblical instruction was for us to stay away from filthy language, unwholesome talk, obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, perverse speech. And the meaning of the original Greek terms used in those verses can be added to the list as well. Christ followers are to stay away from using speech that is abhorrent to morality, a crass disregard of moral principles, talk that is of poor quality, rotten or bad talk, indecent speech, shameful speech, including any speech that's funny and witty but in a low vulgar style. So you hit your thumb with the hammer and you say the S word. Given the lists that we've just read there, how do you evaluate your speech in that moment? Big deal or not a big deal? I'm determined to leave the answer to that question in your court. But I will say this. What do you see Jesus doing in a moment like that? He was a carpenter, right? Would he swear? Do you think Jesus used to throw in the occasional swear word when he was talking to his friends about things he didn't like? If there were words being used in Jesus' day that Jesus knew the general public had labeled vulgar and inappropriate, would he have stayed away from those words, or would he have taken a casual approach and used them now and then? It seems to me that people desiring to be disciples of Jesus ought to seek answers to those questions and then act as you determine that he would have acted. May we represent our Savior well. Would you pray with me? Well, give us wisdom, Lord God. You know, Holy Spirit, give us conviction if we're off target in anything, including in this area of language and swear words. You are in the process of graciously redeeming the individuals within this rebellious race we're a part of. The individuals who would turn back to you. May we be one of those people. Turn our hearts to you and who seek to have you fix us and realign us. You know what's best for us and how we were designed to work. So, Lord, keep working in us. Don't give up on us. We thank you for your love that comes to us despite all of our imperfections and our failures. We thank you for your grace and for your goodness. Lead us in the way everlasting. Amen.